Hello, beautiful people, and welcome to the Influencer Essentials Podcast. Each week, our influencer guests will drop lessons on how they build their brand, run their business, and find their balance. I'm your host, Brittany Hennessy, author of Influencer, Building Your Personal Brand in the Age of Social Media, creator of the Influencer Business Plan course, and co-founder of Carbon August, an influencer education company. On this week's episode, we have DIY influencer A.V. Perkins of A.V. Does What. She's an HGTV digital host, winner of Flea Market Flip, and co-founder of University of Dope, the first card game dedicated to hip-hop. She's also the best self-promoter I know, so we're going to focus on overcoming imposter syndrome and activating people to promote your brand on your behalf. This is a good one, guys, so let's get into it. So this is episode 2, and I'm very, very excited to have on my good friend, A.V. Perkins of A.V. Does What. And my relationship with A.V. is very interesting because she is one of the few influencers who knew to slide into my inbox when I worked at Hearst. So she actually came to Hearst. We sat in the cafeteria. We talked, and we have been friends ever since. So she's been on blog her panels with me. She's been on 4 conversations with me. And now, of course, because I know the value she can add, she's on the Influencer Essentials podcast. So hi, AV. Thanks so much for coming on.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Of course, of course. So let's start with the basics. So AV Perkins AV does what? So talk a little bit about how you chose that name and tell people who you are and what you do. Because I just say you're like the most, you know, DIY expert that I know. But give us your spiel and your background.
So with AV Does What, it stemmed from people asking me, what don't you do? Right. And I worked I was working in the film industry doing props and set decorating. And I was doing that for 10 years. And because I live in New York, you know, you always have like a side hustle, right? So I would freelance being like a brand ambassador for various brands. And people will say, what don't you do? And it's literally the same job, but you know, the brands change. So it seems like you have a new job. So for folks, cause this is before Instagram really was a thing and people didn't know what was what. So people are like, oh, what don't you do? And I'm like, yeah, I'm just, you know, figuring it out. But with the blog, like actually like being a blog in the midst of doing those things, my father had passed away, unfortunately, and he worked in construction. It really taught me how to work with my hands, and that helped me propel my career doing set decorating and props. So I decided, I'm like, you know, I'm going to just make AV Does What kind of like a dedication to him, but not like in your face dedication. And after a while, just doing things on the internet, people were saying like, I did the same thing and I liked it. And eventually brands reached out to me and I said, well, I never keened myself on being like a writer per se. My mother writes and she does like poetry. And then like my father did, you know, creating things with his hands. So I'm like a perfect blend of both. So even though I didn't see myself as that, that kind of fell into my lap. So I tell people I became an influencer by accident.
It's always interesting to see, you know, and hear people's origin stories. But I think the main reason why you stuck out as someone I would have come on and talk about building their brand is not because you have like this huge follower count. I think you have a little over 10,000 followers, which yeah, of course is nothing to sneeze at because you can swipe up. And Lord knows plenty of people listening are dying for the swipe up.
Yeah.
So you can swipe up, but you know, when people think of like influencers who make money and work with big brands, they always think that people have to have 50,000, 100,000 followers. And that's not true, but I think the main reason why you get so much work is because you promote your brand to death. And it's very interesting because I see you promoting it, but I never get tired of you. I'm never like, oh, here's AV promoting her brand again. I'm always like, oh, she did something new. Oh, what's this? Oh, let me check this out. So talk a little bit, because this is like your big,
we're going to talk about multiple revenue streams and all sorts of things, but the big thing that stands out for me when I think about you as an influencer is your gift of promotion. So talk to us about how do you overcome imposter syndrome? How do you just have, you know, quite frankly, the confidence to have a win and then put it out there?
Well, I think there's multiple reasons, right? One, I'm a New Yorker, so we have like that bravado. So regardless, like I'm a New Yorker, so I'm gonna put myself first off top, right? Like that's kind of like how we are. And also, I was definitely blessed to have parents that, you know, encouraged me to be creative, encouraged me to put myself out there, encouraged me to put myself first. So now, granted, everyone's parents are not my parents, you can still, you know, catch up on that. And, you know, like self-preservation, you know, like if you don't put yourself out there, especially if you are a creator or a freelancer, if you don't put yourself out there, what are you going to eat? Food is good. I like food. You know, I need to pay bills. Like T-Mobile does not take shyness, right? They take money. So I have to earn money so I can get the things I need to get done. So that is definitely a driving force. And I think about, you know, what do I come to the internet for? You know, so even there's times where I may like goof off on my social media platforms, but I have like a little, like a mini test that I give to myself. So if I can scroll twice, like specifically Facebook, because Instagram tends to be, you know, people tend to be a little bit more focused on Instagram, but Facebook does, even though, you know, it's considered a dinosaur to most, it still does do conversions, and it also helps build the relationships and people, you know, since Instagram is so old, well, not old, it's longevity. It's been around for a long time. So there are people who may be your friends and they are thinking, I remember when, you know, like I remember when you had a candle making business. And I did have a candle making business, right? I remember when you were just doing props. I remember when we were in middle school. I remember when we were in elementary school. So people are with you on Facebook to like watch the journey. So for me putting myself out there, there are people who are rooting for me. And ironically, my wins get more traffic than anything else. So I'm like, guys, I need you to like do the crafts too, right? That's the point. That's why we're here. But they're like, yeah, you're in this. So, you know, that helps propel things as well. But yeah, putting yourself out there is like the number one thing. For me, if bills and your responsibilities are not something that is going to propel you to doing that, it's what is the worst that's going to happen? People are going to forget. If you do something and it fails, people are going to forget. Like there's things have people are worried about Trump still, you know? So
right.
Just blame Trump. Just like, you know, if you do something and it fails, the next news cycle is going to wipe away your failures.
That's true, you know, but I think it also stands, you know, to show why you work so much, because anytime I am in a group and they need a DIY person, I'm in there about to tag you. And I see that you've already been tagged by 45 other people before I got there. And I think with influencers, so much of the concern is, you know, I don't know anyone at this brand, or I'm a new mom and I don't know anybody in the baby space, or I just moved to this town and I don't have any connections. But people forget that it's so much less about you and who you know and your network and how many people are willing to vouch for you and put your name out there, because you literally have hundreds of people, because it's never the same people who I see tagging you. Hundreds of people, whether I'm on Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, in a Facebook group, on a random friends page, if somebody is looking for DIY, someone has tagged you. And I think that's just a testament to you constantly reminding people, hello, I'm here. I do DIY. I was just on this show. I was just in this article. Mm-hmm. Look at me. I'm killing it, because you're top of mind always. Even when I went to do this podcast, I was like, all right, let me map out my first month. And I was like, obviously AV. And one, that's because we've done so many things together, but it probably also has to do with, I probably just saw your name on my feed because yeah, you probably just posted something.
And what's crazy when I speak to people who are like, oh, I want to get like started, and they're doing things, and you know, they want to create. I'm like, you have to spend more time promoting yourself than creating. I promote myself more than I actually get to create, just because of bandwidth and time, because of things like you mentioned, being tagged to different opportunities. I don't have the time in the day to see every single post where they're looking for a DIYer, where they're looking for someone who likes hip hop. So if I just put it out there like, hey, only things you need to know about me is that I like crafts and Wu-Tang and tag me to everything that has to deal with that, I will sift through it to make sure it's a viable opportunity. But that's all you guys really need to know. And you can go out there and be, you know, my evangelist. And that's what you need. You need people who are willing to be your evangelist, but people need to know what you do to evangelize for you.
Yes. So this is a key component, and I'm glad you brought it up, is that if people ask me who are you and what you do, I know what the response is. The response is, you are if Martha Stewart and Snoop Dogg had a baby. Mm-hmm. And you say that, it's so easy for me to hear and remember and repeat that I look at something and I'm like, oh, this is Snoop Dogg-ish, tag AV. This is Martha Stewart-ish, tag AV. And there's no work involved. There's no, you know, with people who tend to have very niche brands or like such a specific way of how they define their brand or their content, there is always the, oh, is this right for this person? I don't know. I don't want to tag them. And then this isn't right. Then it just becomes too complicated. And I'm just not going to tag the person because now this is too much work for me to give you an opportunity. Mm-hmm. But you have made it so easy. Like you said, is it hip hop? Tag me. Is it DIY? Tag me. I will sort out the rest. So I think, you know, for the audience, that's a really strong point to make, that you have to have a brand that is easy for people to hear, digest, remember, and repeat, because that's the only way people will feel comfortable, you know, promoting you and putting you in the spotlight for a lot of these really great opportunities. So how did you come up with that? How did you, because I know there's a good story in here about Wu-Tang and some bread. So
can you, yeah, you know,
how did you do that?
So when I first decided I wanted to do a DIY blog, I, you know, was looking for my voice because that's what the people were saying. Like, you have to find your voice, not thinking my voice is how I speak. so I was looking for my voice, and DIY looks very, you know, a specific way, like Martha pre-prison, right? So it's, for lack of better words, it looks very white, right? And, you know, I'm looking, you know, what's my voice? And then one day I made waffles, and you know how some people say they saw like Mary, Buddha, Jesus, God in their food. I saw the Wu-Tang symbol in my waffles, and I was like, oh my gosh, hip hop homemaking. You know, that just like came to me literally. And I started to, and it was natural to me. I always wanted to make sure things that I spoke about were natural to me. In the DIY space, a lot of people are homeowners. I am a renter because I live in New York. And shiplap is not something, nothing wrong with shiplap, but it's not something I would particularly do. Same thing with subway tiles. You know, it took me a while to realize like the design trend of subway tiles were like from the subway, like in New York. And I'm like, why would I want that in my house? No one who lives here wants that. So, but there are people who want to create they want their home to be special. They want their home to be unique, and they may not want it to be exactly what they're seeing that everyone else is doing. So I feel like I can bring that voice to the masses, you know, because the coastal cities, right? We have to deal. We want to make our homes nice too.
That's true. And that's funny what you said, like the voice, the way I actually speak. And I think, you know, a lot of people do spend a lot of time trying to figure out, okay, what's my voice? What's my niche? And I always tell people, if you're having trouble figuring out your voice, just turn on like Zoom and talk about mm-hmm. your subject. Just talk. You're going to rely on the same stories. You're going to tell the same bits. Like everybody has their stories, their shtick, their jam. Everybody has the same thing. So if you talk for long enough, you will see, okay, what are the things that constantly bring up? What are the words that I use? Am I very happy? Am I sad? Am I a little anxious? Am I like super sarcastic? And you'll just figure it out. And I think, you know, trying to determine all of those things before you create is a little bit of a waste of time, because as you create, that's when you figure out your voice and that's when you figure out your niche. And that's when you say, you know, oh, everything I make is DIY, but has hip hop in it. So that must just be who I am and how I do things. And so if you're waiting to nail down your niche and your voice before you launch your brand, big mistake. Because you'll figure it out as you're launching. And as you grow as a person, your brand will also evolve because it's you. It's kind of like being a musician who writes their own songs. As your life changes, your songs will change, as opposed to someone else writing your songs and you're like the Backstreet Boys in 50 still singing about, you know, your first heartache. And it's like, you're 50. Your first heartache was like 40 years ago. I need you to get some original song content in here. So I love hearing about your brand. Let's talk a little bit about how that translates into your business. Another reason why you are an obvious for this podcast is because you are one of the few creators I know who has not one, not two, but like 35 revenue streams.
All of them.
So can we, let's talk a little bit about, like, you know, how are you, first of all, how did you decide what they were going to be? And just like background for people, you know, AV has obviously brand partnerships. She was doing live crafting events. She had like a membership craft club. You have a board game, which we can talk about, like a card game for hip hop. And I saw that there is a new version coming out, which looked very cool. And then, you know, you also have like hip hop DIY t-shirts. Like, you just have so many things. So talk a little bit about your different revenue streams, how they all work together, and how you know when it's time to add a new one, because I think that's a big one. Like, can people just have two? I'm a big fan of have as many as you possibly have time for.
Talk about that. So with University of Dope, my business partner, we went to college together, and hence the university part. And our business is actually named after our dorm that we met. So our business is Vance Hall, and that's the dorm that we lived in. And we were on the dance team together. She came to visit me in Brooklyn. She lives in Connecticut. And I don't know if anyone remembers that game show, Cash Cab. She would always say, oh my gosh, are we going to get into a cash cab? And it's like, no, we're in Brooklyn. We're not getting into a cash cab. That's only in Manhattan, sis. So, but yeah, she always had these hopes of getting into a cash cab, hence because she lives in Connecticut. But after I crushed her dreams of that we're not getting into a cash cab, we went to go eat. And I did ask her if she can name all the members of Wu-Tang. And once again, Wu-Tang has shaped my life, because I spoke earlier about my Wu-Tang waffles. This is 4 years after that we started University of Dope. I asked her if she can name all the members of Wu-Tang. She said yes. I didn't believe her. I asked her if she can name them all, if she'd been drinking, you know, some adult beverages. She said yes again. I still didn't believe her. And we Googled Wu-Tang drinking game. It didn't exist. So we made it up. And this year will be 5 years of doing that. And it literally started from, we were our own like target audience. And the great thing about starting University of Dope, because I was already blogging and working with people, I think at the time I had just finished like writing for Blavity. So I was already getting my name out there in terms of press. So I was able to leverage press from AV Does What for University of Dope. So that was a good way to get us out there and creating this thing that's become a thing on its own, essentially. And when we decided to do the idea the year previously, so the year before having this idea, I had a massive game night at my house. Mind you, I told you I live in Brooklyn, New York, and you know, we only have so much square footage, but I really believe there's like 300 people at my house. And you know, had a great party, had a great game night. And then the year to the day, that is when we premiered of the following year, the prototype of University of Dope. So we were testing out the game at another game night the next year.
I love that. And you know, it doesn't have to do with DIY, except that you made the game. So I guess in the sense, it's the truest form of DIY, but it's aligned very closely with your other pillar, which is, if it's hip hop, tag me. If it's DIY, tag me.
I think of it like they're siblings. Like AV Does What is my daughter, and University of Dope is my son, my younger son. So they're similar because they have the same parents, but they are different because they are their own personalities. So they, you know, they blend together, but still stand out on their own.
I love that. So let's talk a little bit about pivoting during a pandemic, because sadly, a year later, we are still in this hot mess of a disaster. And part of your revenue, you would do live crafting events for the corporate world. So before we talk about how you pivoted for a pandemic, talk a little bit about that revenue stream and how you took your brand offline, because I think, you know, that's something a lot of influencers struggle with, which is so important, which is it's great to have an online brand. It's great to have your socials down. It's great to have a nice website. But at the end of the day, like, people need to see you. They need to hear you. And that's why, you know, you have influencers like Lindsay, who was on the first episode. She does like she would do like the annual holiday shopping spree at like Blue Mercury. And it's like an event that would have 600 people at it because people want to see their influencers in real life. Mm-hmm. So you had a very strong offline brand. How did you figure that out? How did you package it? And how did you get those opportunities?
It's so funny because, you know, everyone with the pandemic happening, it was like, okay, people are not working with brands anymore. How do I become offline, right? Wherein I was stronger offline and the pandemic happened and things started closing offline. So I thought no one was safe in the pandemic. I thought I was safe because I didn't have to worry about, you know, the algorithm or anything like that. Well, I shouldn't say I didn't have to worry about it, but I likely had to worry about the algorithm. But for me, it happened in reverse. So people weren't willing to come out to a crafting class, rightfully so, because it is a pandemic. So I had to go in reverse to work more so with brands. And fortunately, people were looking for more DIYers to work with because everybody was crafting at home and trying to find ways of self-care and, you know, creating, doing things, you know, plants, all of that stuff. So switching over to more on the brand side, which I more or less avoided, started, you know, being more beneficial to me now.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, that's the joy of having multiple streams. Whichever stream is the largest and flowing the fastest, that's the one you put your boat in. Actually, let's not say boat, let's say kayak. Can we talk a little bit how you have also decided that you kayak? And I now love. this is part of your pillars. You're adding a third thing. You're getting your outdoors woman on.
I love kayaking, and I've been debating whether or not I want to go into the monetizing it part.
You should. They need women of color. Premium pricing.
They do. So I've been, and it's so funny because I just got like an email for like my kayaking club. They're like, oh, we're looking for like different committees, and they have like an outreach committee. So I'm like, maybe I could be like an influencer for my kayaking club. So I've been playing around with that, you know, because I, you know, a woman, I need shoes. I need kayak shoes. So let's get it popping. But yeah, I do love it. And I can't wait for springtime to come so I can do that a little bit more. And also like a car. That's what I need too. So I can go like further outside of Brooklyn to get my kayaking on. But yeah, that is definitely one of my pillars. I love crafting, kayaking, cooking, you know, not their C's and K's at the same time, not to be too problematic, but you know, we're here. So
sure. And yeah. You know, I think it's funny. The reason why I know this is because you spent a lot of time on Facebook, you know, manifesting, saying, I will have this by this date. I will have this by this date. And it's amazing to watch you because I have seen you say there are things you want, and then I have also seen you get those exact things. Mm-hmm. Like, you are a host, so you won Flea Market Flip, so I want you to talk a little bit about that. And then you're a digital host for HGTV. And these are things, again, that people think, I've got to be an influencer with a million followers. I've got to have all these connections. But like, you're just out there putting in the work and making sure your name floats around. And you've done these two great things. So talk a little bit about how you got those two specific opportunities and also the Snapchat one, because I love that story. And then talk to us a little bit about your approach to goal setting.
So to go back to what you were saying, with goal setting, I always think, what is the worst that's going to happen? Someone's going to say no. Okay, I've heard no. And I've heard a lot of yeses. And my yeses have been, you know, strong and, you know, build me up, and they've been awesome. And some of my no's have been like, oh, that sucks, but I have yeses, so whatever. So with Flea Market Flip, that is a prime example of putting myself out there, because I was tagged twice to the opportunity. Mind you, I can't be on Facebook all day, even though I'm there often, but I just can't see everything. It started off with someone tagging me to like a casting call. And they're like, oh, and it was a guy. And it was a guy who doesn't do DIY or anything like that. He's like, oh, I saw this and I thought of you. He thought of me. Why? Because I talk about myself and what I do often. So earlier I had mentioned, I didn't get to finish it because we're talking. I always check my socials, specifically Facebook, and I scroll. If I scroll twice, like, you know, like you scroll kind of like a Wheel of Fortune kind of scroll, like, you know, you got to do like a spin. And if it goes and I don't see anything about my businesses twice, like after two scrolls, I'm talking too much about things that are not putting me where I need to be.
So yeah, well, I like that benchmark.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can goof off, because I am a human. I'm not a robot. But if I scroll twice and it's all about, I don't know, just something random, yeah, we need to reel it back in. We need to get the people back to what we are talking about. And that is AV Does What in University of Guilt, like my children. I need you to respect them. So I start talking about crafts again, or maybe like, you know, segueing back into crafts or University of Dope. So that's my benchmark, and I love that benchmark. So people should definitely, you know, use that, utilize that, please. So same thing, same concept. I was always putting myself out there. A guy tagged me to the casting call. Another person actually slid into my DMs. It was another guy, and he was a casting producer. And I don't know where I met him from. And he said, hey, you know, a colleague of mine is looking for people for this like HGTV show. I don't know, but I know you craft. That's exactly what he said. So he was not familiar with that part of lifestyle. I think he does more like reality TV, right? So if it wasn't Love and Hip Hop to him, it didn't matter. But he was like, hey, you craft. And I'm like, all right, cool. I thought it was two different HGTV shows. So I was like, hey, you know, we're here, we're going to win. But it was the same show. So then I applied, and the casting process was very interesting, you know, because it was very much focused on the relationship of the person that you were with, more so than, hey, you guys can build a house together. So it was me and my friend, who was actually our events coordinator for University of Dope. Her and I went on the show, and we met when we used to work for Nesquik together. And that could be for the memoir, right? I used to work for Nesquik, and I actually dressed up as the bunny a couple of times. But that is for the memoir, guys. So we went on the show, and we won. Spoiler alert, we won, and that was an amazing experience. And when I tell you, people still, like in this interview, people still ask about it. It's been 2 years, almost 3 years, actually. And people are very like interested and invested in the show and the outcome. And with HGTV Handmade, which I eventually, I just celebrated my year anniversary being on the team for Handmade. I don't know how they found me, but I would like to believe it's kind of like, you know, putting yourself out there, one, and two, like, hey, you already have experience with what we're doing here at this family. So it's like hiring from within, in a sense. So, yeah.
Yeah, I love those two stories. Again, you just being out there, people not even knowing what the opportunity is, just being like, hey, this seems like it's in your wheelhouse. Do you want to check it out? And then the last story I want you to tell is a story about really shooting your shot, because your Snapchat story is very interesting because you were out actually outside the casting perimeters.
Yeah.
Went for it anyway. So tell everybody that story.
So I was tagged to an opportunity, and that is, I feel like if people don't get anything from this interview, it's putting yourself out there because more people want to see you win than see you lose. You know, I think it's become very commonplace to move in silent, to keep things to yourself. People are evil and terrible, which they're all true. Those are all things that are true, right? But you don't have to worry about the haters. Put yourself out there because the people who love you are loving you and they're loving on you and they want to see you succeed. So me putting myself out there, there was a competition for Snapchat through Hearst, and it was like their Hearst Snapchat channel. So they had a competition, and it was, you know, a costume making competition. And they, in the requirements, they asked for people who were like 18 to 24, 25 or something. At the time, I was 34. And so that was already like, that's like the first line, right? So I'm like, eek. But I'm like, I put on lotion and I look beautiful. I drink water. And they asked for like sewing skills and, you know, all of these things. And I said to myself, you know what? What is the worst that can happen? They can tell me, well, yeah, you can't read because we said you're 24 and you are 10 years, you're a decade older than our requirements. What are you doing? But I applied, and when I sent all of my information and they, and this was before I started with, HGTV Handmade. So it's not even like I had that name, like weight on it. Right. So they said, oh my gosh, like your stuff is so great. We want to work with you. And it didn't matter. And then I went and then I did the competition and I won. So if I would have said, oh, I'm old, I wouldn't have won. And I still have a great relationship with those producers for that show. So, yeah.
I love it. Yeah, you're adventurous. You get out there. And I want to close the business part out with just talking a little bit about Clubhouse. You are Clubhouse queen. You are in every article on women you should follow on Clubhouse, Black women you should follow on Clubhouse, DIYers you should follow on Clubhouse. You are there everywhere. So talk a little bit about why you got on Clubhouse, you know, and how you, most importantly, how you are using Clubhouse to build your audience on other channels, because that's the one thing I've seen you do that I actually haven't seen anybody talk about. And I think it's brilliant.
So with Clubhouse, you know, I had people reaching out to me saying like, hey, you need to join Clubhouse. I'm like, I don't have an iPhone, guys, please stop. You know, and I kept saying it. And it was more so for University of Dope and like, oh, all of these celebrities on there, you got to do it. I'm like, yeah. But I just had gotten an iPad to actually practice digital illustration. That's why I purchased my iPad for. And I said, well, let me try it. Every story I have of myself starts off with, let me try it, right? So I tried to see if Clubhouse would work on my iPad, and it did, lo and behold. And then once I got into the app, I saw that there, I was looking, you know, for things like crafts and filling out my bio, and there weren't any like craft clubs. So, you know, I like, okay, we could be like an early adopter of this. And fun fact, like if I listened to my mother, I would be an early adopter on several different platforms, including YouTube, including Etsy. She always told me like, hey, you should try this out. And I'm like, yeah, I'm doing something else. And lo and behold, it'll be like, you know, a year or two later, that becomes a hot thing and I missed the boat. So I'm like, I'm not going to miss the boat, even though she did not suggest Clubhouse, but it was just that ideology. Let me not miss the boat. So with Clubhouse, didn't really see a lot of crafters and DIY spaces. Although I did see Britt Morin from Britt & Co, who I love. She's like the OG of this whole thing, maker, this new age maker movement and making it a very profitable business. But she's also, you know, a venture capitalist. So I did not know like if she was there to do crafts, right? But I decided like, hey, I am going to create the crafter party. That's a place where, you know, the crafters and makers, they can all get together and discuss your life after crafting. it doesn't always have to be about business, but it just could be about leveling up your creative confidence. And I started it and it grew very quickly. I think we're right at the 6,000 member mark and it grows like extremely fast. And full circle, Britt joined the crafter party. So it's really cool. And with Clubhouse, because they don't have an internal feature to chat, you have to chat via Instagram or Twitter. So that, you know, kind of like funnels people to your other platforms. And that's what I've been able to use it in and do. And at the crafter party, for those, you know, who are listening, the crafter party, we have doodle rooms from Sunday to Friday, twice a day. And we just doodle for 20 minutes. So I tell people, if you are tired of Clubhouse and the reputation in certain areas that it's getting, come to the crafter party. We are chilling, we are doodling, and we're just spending time being creative.
I love that. So you spend a lot of time on social, you spend a lot of time doodling and crafting. What do you do in your off time? Do you craft in your off time? Do you turn your phone off? Like when you're like, I'm gonna take a break, I'm gonna decompress, how do you restore the balance? Because you are working.
I am out here, okay? At this point, it's I'm fortunate enough to be able to craft for profit, right? And also unfortunate enough to craft for profit, because that's what I do, right? So it's like, I don't want to, unless I'm doing it with like my, because like my nieces are interested in the crafting, so they love it. They also want YouTube and TikToks, and I am skeptical about putting them on there. Like, auntie, I want to be on your channel. It's like, no, you have to wait till you're like 12. So you're going to be like a little bit more conscious of what you're choosing, even though I'm going to just extend it to them being 16, because that's what they're doing, right? So yeah, I craft with them. Like that's what I do for fun, but I don't get to craft as often for myself, because as I'm crafting, I think this is great content and I'm going to make this to be content, and not being like, you know, oh my gosh, you have to just do content. Content also keeps me accountable, you know, things I want to try, because having the doodle rooms allows me to practice digital illustration every day because my audience is expecting it from me. And there was a session, Valentine's Day evening session, that I did take off. And the next day, which was yesterday, people said, hey, we were looking for you yesterday. Where were you? I'm like, it's Valentine's Day, guys. Could you not? But, you know, I'm glad that people are responsive to it where they miss me. You know, they missed the sessions. So my crafting, even with people and for content, holds me accountable. But on my off times, I like to watch Netflix. Things that are not crafty at all. Like, it's actually very like violent, you know? Like I think my everyday waking life is very much ribbons and, you know, rainbows and unicorn glitter and hip hop lyrics. So it's just like, oh, it's just so much fun. And then I'm like, let's watch Narcos, right? So that's kind of, yeah, I know. That's it brings balance.
I love it. And this was great. So I think the three main lessons we can take away from this is have a strong brand so that people can share it for you. Mm-hmm. Make sure you put yourself out there and give yourself the opportunity for people to tag you in those opportunities because they see you promoting yourself. And then at the end of the day, you know, create things that are good enough that when you take a day off, your audience misses you. And I think that really sums up how you can have a strong brand, a strong business, and, you know, really find joy in being a creator, because at times it is difficult. So I know everyone listening has learned so much from you. And tell everybody where they can find you, follow you, and stalk you down.
Okay. Well, one, you also want to try things that are new, right? Just YOLO. Just like how I incorporate my hip hop lyrics, I just said YOLO. So try something new, YOLO. And with putting yourself out there. But you can find me. I am AV Does What on all social media platforms. like any platform that has existed, I am AV Does What on all of them. You can also find me avdoeswhat.com. You can also find University of Dope, the first card game dedicated to hip hop culture, at universityofdope.com. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, University of Dope.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, AV, for coming on. It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's all for this episode of the Influencer Essentials Podcast. I hope you picked up all those gems AV dropped on how to build your brand, run your business, and find your balance. Join us next week as we chat with Penny Panosian, OG beauty blogger and founder of Monday Born, about the evolution of beauty influencers and founding a company during a pandemic. As always, I'm your host, Brittany Hennessy, and you can follow me on IG at Mrs. Brittany Hennessy. See you on the gram. Bye.